as we gather around the written word
and listen to the spoken word, may we meet with the living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. What do you like at wrapping presents? We'll get there in a minute. I'm okay when I do them, but not fancy. I can do the standard box shape, you know, three bits of sellotape, one on each end and one along the top. But if you want each end to look exactly the same and neatly folded, or a fancy bow on the top, then you need find someone else to do your wrapping. And to be fair, I don't do much of the present wrapping in our house. Do you ever have that thing when you order something online and it arrives, but you don't think it can be the thing you ordered because the thing you ordered was tiny and the box is absolutely huge? You open it and you have to kind of dig through all the packaging to find this tiny little thing in the bottom of the box. And then on the other end of the spectrum, there are people who seem to be experts at packing in an awful lot into a very small space. When we've moved house, I've always been amazed at the way in which the movers do this kind of imaginary 3D Tetris in their heads. They look around your house and then they start loading the van, and somehow the whole of your house fits into this van. How do they do that? Why is he going on about packing? Well, here we go. Seems to me that the verses that Sheila read to us from Titus are a bit like that lorry, or a parcel packed by an expert packer. There is just so much in there. It's like the TARDIS. It's bigger on the inside than on the outside. It's only a few verses, yet there's like a whole heap of theology in there. So I thought what we might do is unpack some of it this Christmas Eve, and see if there's anything that, as we unpack it, that's particularly relevant for us as we celebrate Jesus' birth and as we look forward to the new year. Now, the first thing to deal with is the but. The first word of the verses, but. You see, the word but, it implies that there's a link between what's about to be written and what was just written. And if we don't get an understanding of this, we don't understand that connection, then we can't understand what we've read. So wherever there's a but or a therefore towards the beginning of a reading, it's always worth going back to have a look at the few verses beforehand. So what's been going on up to now? Titus is writing a letter to Christians in the early church, and he's been describing the state of Christians before they knew Jesus. So he's reminding them what they used to be like. And he says that they were, and I quote, "foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved, living in malice and envy, being hated and hating." It's not very Christmassy, is it? He doesn't pull any punches. And he includes himself. He says, we were like this. It's not like he's saying, you horrible ones over there. He's saying, we were like this. This is the mess we were in. But when? We've had a reminder of the bad news, so here comes the reminder of the good news. This is the mess we were in, but when? Back to the packing. I wonder if you have any friends or family who use too much sellotape. You know the ones. You come to unwrap the present from them and you just can't get into it. It's so wrapped up. And when I first looked at these verses from Titus, it felt a little bit like that. I didn't know where to start. Where was the end of this bit of string? But then as I read it, three themes began to emerge from me that I thought I'd share with you this evening. What God is like, what God has done, and what we've received. What God is like, what God has done, and what we've received. So let's start with what God is like. What words in these verses describe God? Verse 4, kindness and love. Verse 5, mercy. Verse 6, generous. Verse 7, grace. That is what God is like. Kindness, love, mercy, generosity, and grace. I wonder if that's an understanding of God that you have, if that's a picture of God that you have in your head. There's has anybody heard of, was it Dougie Doug? I think it's Dougie Doug, Doug. It might not be. Anyway, children's songs, Christian children's songs, and there was one we used to play on a CD when we were on long journeys on the car, and it's called What Is Your God Like? Okay? And the first verse goes like this. Does the Lord make you sad? Does he make you really mad? Does he worry you and fill you with despair? Is he full of lies and greed? Does he keep what you need? Does he laugh at you and say he doesn't care? And then the chorus is, no way. He is gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, rich in love, always good to all, compassionate to all that he has made. And this is what the Bible tells us that God is like. This is what Jesus showed us that God is like. That's one of the reasons he came to live among us. One of the things we celebrate at Christmas, so that he could show us what God is like. And that's not to say that life is always shiny happy when we're Christians, or that relationship with God is always easy or straightforward. But I believe that we can trust in God's character, what God is like in our good times and in our hard times. It seems to me that sometimes our mental image of who God is needs a bit of a revisit. And chewing over these verses over Christmas and into the new year might be a really good way of doing that. Let's go into 2022 with our image, our understanding of God, our picture of God really lined up with what the scripture says he's like. And this summary in Titus gives a really good starting point for that. So we've got a good idea of what God is like. But what do these verses say God has done? Let's go through again. Verse 4, appeared. Verse 5, saved. Verse 6, poured. Verse 7, justified. God has appeared, saved, poured, and justified. What's the first thing we notice about these? What have they all got in common? They're all in the past tense. These are things that God has done. They are completed actions. God appeared. Well, strictly speaking, if you read the text, it says that the kindness and love of God appeared. But I think that we can take that as shorthand for Jesus coming to earth. This is what happened at the first Christmas. God appeared on earth. Jesus came, as we've already said, so that we could experience God's love. Jesus is God's love and kindness in physical reality. God appeared and God saved. And Jesus did come to show us what God is like, what God's love is like, not just in the way he lived, but also in the way he died. John famously writes, God loved the world in this way, that he sent his son, that any who believe in him may not die, but may have eternal life. Jesus has rescued us from the guilt and the shame of everything that we have ever done wrong. He has saved us from the death that is the consequence of our rejection of God. The last thing he said on the cross was, "It is finished. It's done. Everything that needed to be done has been done. Our rescue is complete. We just need to step into it." God poured out his spirit. And this happened for the first time at Pentecost, when the first followers of Jesus received the promised power from on high, the promised power from God to tell the great deeds of God. It was a permanent change in the relationship between God and God's people. The spirit has been poured out and has not been unpoured. The spirit has been poured out and has not been unpoured. God justified us. We are made right with God not because we've earned it or because we deserve it, but because we've worked hard at it. It is the free gift of God. Are you ready for two cheesy Christian cliches? Yeah, here we go. So, they're really cheesy, but they're great for remembering what these two Christianese words mean. Justified. You ready? It's just as if I'd never done anything wrong. I'm justified. It's just as if I'd never done anything wrong. and grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. It's like I said a moment ago, Jesus has done everything that needed to be done to put us right with God. He has paid the price, and now it is just as if I've never done anything wrong. So that is what God has done, and God has done those things because that is what God is like. But these verses are a present that just keeps giving. There's more to unwrap. Because of what God has done, because of what God is like, we have received some things. Let's go through again to find out what. Verse 5, rebirth and renewal. Verse 6, the Holy Spirit. Verse 7, an inheritance and the hope of eternal life. I quoted John 3 a moment ago. I'm going to go back there. And in John 3, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. He's come to Nicodemus, is one, a member of the kind of ruling council of the Jews. He's a rich, important man. He's religiously well-educated. He's come to Jesus. He's wanting to know what Jesus is teaching. And Jesus says to him, you need to be born again of the Spirit. And I think that Titus is reminding us of this conversation. We have a new life in Jesus. And the only way to enter a life is to be born. At Christmas, we celebrate the new life of Jesus on earth that he was born into. And in Jesus, we too are offered new life, which we are born into by the Holy Spirit. Rebirth. That's what Titus says. That's what we've received. We're born into families. Jesus was born into the family of Mary and Joseph. And as he grew, he gained brothers and sisters. The family grew. When we're born again, we are born anew into God's family. We become heirs of God's kingdom who have a royal inheritance. Again, John puts it like this in the introduction to his gospel. To all who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent or of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. So if we receive Jesus and believe in his name, which Jesus means God saves, if we acknowledge that we need rescue and that we trust Jesus for that rescue, then we are children of God, born of the Spirit of God. And as members of the family, we look forward with confident expectation. That's what Christian hope is, confident expectation to life in our family, eternal life. It's not just about long life, it's about quality of life. It's family life. It's family life in the family of God. So, as we celebrate Jesus' birth, as we come to communion to remember his death and resurrection, let's hold on to what Titus has to say to us about who God is, what God has done, and what we have received. The best Christmas present of all. Amen.